I forgot to mention that Brian isn't here today. One of his sons had a wedding yesterday out in Tilbach, so that's where he is. I was reminded of that because today is Trinity Sunday. It's the week after Pentecost. We've had the celebration of the Holy Spirit. We come now to look at who the Trinity is. And from my experience, this is the day that rectors take leave so that their assistants can preach. I don't think Brian's son knew this and planned it in advance, but that's just what happened. But Trinity is a wonderful day. It's an exciting day to preach because it's a very complicated subject. And it's made even more complicated because of our lack of understanding, because of perhaps bad teaching in the past, or because it's just so difficult that we're not able to grasp what it's all about. And I think that's where many preachers and many Christians, in fact, get it wrong. We try to work it out. And there are lots of metaphors. I'm sure you've known many different metaphors and explanations of who the Trinity is, how it's constituted, what it's all about. Recently, I read about another one that was unfamiliar to me, and it's about the candle, which is an image of light, which is a wonderful image of who God is. And the candle is made up of the wick and the flame and the light that comes out of it. And it's a beautiful image of who God is. They're all part of the same candle, but they're different elements. And yet, while it's maybe beautiful and helpful, it's wrong. It's incomplete. It's misleading. It doesn't really show us who God is. God is too big. God is too complex for our understanding. Any of you who were here watching Louis Giglio over the last couple of weeks, the DVDs, will have recognized that God is too big and complex. You watch National Geographic or BBC Life, you come to understand that the world as we know it, even as we don't know it, is more complex, more advanced than we can hope to understand or even hope to appreciate. Niels Bohr, who is a Danish physicist, he was a major contributor to quantum physics, to nuclear fission, a really bright guy. He said, "The universe is not only stranger than we think, it is stranger than we can think." We can't get there. We can't understand it. Every time we learn more about what's out there or what's in here, we get taken further and further away of what we actually understand. At some point, our logic, that which guides us through our life, has to break down. It has to break down before we can comprehend the nature of the universe, before we can begin to comprehend the nature of God. Without wanting to dodge the importance of what today is, we need to begin by accepting that we can't really hope to capture the breadth and the depth of who God is. Our minds aren't big enough. And yet it's really exciting to sink our teeth into something of what God has to show us, something of the joy of who God is. To sink into the vastness of our Creator, of our Lord, the Spirit. And I guess we have to start with what we can see, with what we can see and touch and experience. We have to start with creation. We have to look at what we can learn from creation about our God. And one of the elements of creation that was highlighted for me recently was how it mirrors what we know about God already. Because we talk a lot about, in the Christian faith certainly, about God being relationship. We talk about our relationship with God, our relationship with one another and creation. And scientists are beginning to understand that actually, far more important than the different elements that make up life, the universe, and everything, is the relationship between them. Sure, the elements are very important in their own space, and we need to understand what they are. But we need to understand the relationship they have with one another. And we look at protons and neutrons and how they bond to each other and what that's all about and why it's working. Look at something like gravity. Wherever we are in the universe, gravity is doing something and we don't understand why or how. Electricity, magnetism, all of these things, these parts of the universe that connect us and draw us together, those are the important parts. Theologians are talking about the idea of reality being radically relational. What that means is that at its root, reality is about relationship. The power is in the relationships themselves. And I think God in the Trinity is best understood in terms of relationship. Theologians are beginning to focus, as they haven't in the past. In the past, people were being focusing on the activities and the nature of the different elements within the Trinity. We've looked at God, Son, and Spirit and said, who are these persons? How do we understand them? How do they fit together? What do they do? And we've looked at different words that people have used in the past. But the mystery of God as Trinity invites us into a dynamic, flowing relationship. The mystery says that God is a verb more than a noun. God is action. God invites us as Trinity into a participatory experience, an experience of a relationship with God. In the 12th century, a Franciscan by the name of Richard of St. Victor wrote a number of manuscripts on this theme. And he put it this way, it's paraphrased a bit into a sort of South African English or modern day English. For God to be good, God can be one. So if God is just good, God can be one. But for God to be loving, God needs to be two, because love has to be formed within a relationship. But his real breakthrough came when he said, for God to be supreme joy and happiness, God needs to be three. As new parents will tell you, their love for each other is enhanced with the birth of a child, as there is a third party in this relationship. They can't know full happiness. We can't know full happiness in a relationship until there is something, until we both delight in the same thing. And of course, the parent and child explanation is the most obvious. I was thinking yesterday of two people who support the same winning team. The relationship is enhanced through that, even if it doesn't happen very often. Now, while this is a beautiful explanation of the relationship with God, and while it's true for me and it helps me in my understanding of God, it's not true in itself. It's not completely true. There is so much more. There is more to our experience, more to our understanding of God as Trinity. And so this morning, I really want to focus rather on how we respond. How do we respond to a God who is three in one? How does it change me? How does it help me grow? I have no problem with the truth that God is three persons in one person. Mostly, it's because that's how I have experienced God. Over the years, that's how I've come to know God. And I want to look at how that changes me, how it affects the way I live a life of love in action, how it affects what I believe. Firstly, I know I experience God as Father. That's a big part of how I experience God, Creator, all-powerful, all-knowing, awesome, also sometimes frightening. As I look around, I'm amazed by God's imagination, by God's power. As I contemplate the size of God, at times I'm terrified by God's holiness and bigness and my smallness and weakness. Isaiah has this vision of God in all of God's majesty and power, and he falls to his face on the ground and he says, woe is me, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a land of unclean lips. The Israelites, as they gathered around Mount Sinai to receive the law from God, they heard the thunder and the rumbling of the grounds, and they said, Moses, you go. We are too terrified. We can't get close to the power and the holiness of God. Job and his friends are complaining about God. And suddenly God speaks, and Job is flattened by the voice of God. As God shows all the wonders of creation, it's a passage worth reading towards the end of Job. And God asks, who are you? Did you make this? Watch some of those BBC channel programs and hear God saying to you, did you make this? This is who I am. Some days the size of God the Creator is too big to comprehend. And yet we've been taught also that God is the perfect Father. God has compassion even on the smallest bird and on the lost sheep. God longs to walk in the garden with his children. God the Father is preparing for us a new heaven and a new earth where we will live together, and there will be no more tears. Jesus shows us this image of the Father peering down the road, waiting desperately. And then, while we are still a long way off, the Father runs down the road with arms open wide and grabs his son and says, "Welcome home." And my relationship with God as Father needs to take up all of that. It needs to incorporate a response to all of this that is God. The second part of the Trinity, my experience of God, is that I know Jesus. I've met Jesus in the Gospels. I've met Jesus through the letters. In fact, more and more I'm beginning to meet Jesus in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, as we see how God has this plan to reach out to those who've gone away from him. We see the presence of God incarnate as a man, made flesh. And then as I read through the Gospels, as I read the words of Jesus, I watch him care for all of those around him. I'm stunned by the presence of God that we see in him. Have a look at Richard Rohr's book on the Sermon on the Mount, or Philip Yancey's book on the Jesus he never knew. Read the Gospels. You'll be stunned and amazed by the Jesus you meet. You'll be challenged to become so much more than you are. We see how God interacts with his people, how he comforts them, how he heals and feeds and teaches them, how at times he has to rebuke them. In Jesus, God is telling us that we can be so much more, that we can walk closer to God, that we can walk closer to each other. My experience of Jesus teaches me and leads me to look more deeply at how I respond to my Heavenly Father. I'm encouraged and challenged by the example of a life of love in action that Jesus shows us. And then Jesus shows us a picture of the day of judgment, where we're not asked, "What are your theological position? What is your theological position on the Trinity, and how do you understand it?" Rather, we asked, "How have you cared for the broken and the lost?" And then thirdly, I know God through the Spirit who is in me. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit, and we've come to recognize that the Spirit is, in the Hebrew scriptures, is known as Ruach or Chokmah, which means wisdom. And they're both feminine words, so perhaps we need to talk about the Spirit as she to try and get a balance of who God is. And I've seen and felt the Spirit move. I felt her move in my life, in the lives of others, changing other people. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the advocate, the guide, enabler, sustainer and teacher, the power, the presence of God. As Jesus begins his ministry, we see the Holy Spirit come dramatically onto him and lead him out. Last week we saw how Peter ran down the aisle, filled with the Spirit, enabled to teach with authority, filled with confidence again. We see in Paul's letters how Paul is enabled by the Spirit, how the churches are filled with gifts and fruit and changed. My experience of God in the Spirit transforms me as I allow God to clean out the blockages in my life. And that's who God is. Within the Godhead, within God and reaching out to the world, is the Father. That part of God that is creator and judge and parent. That part of God who longs to reconnect with his creation. Within God is the Son, that part of God that is the Christ, the saving, redeeming love of God in action. Jesus, who shows us the desires and the heart of the Father. And within the Godhead is the Spirit of God, who is able to sustain and comfort and guide and empower us. That part of God that's able to dwell within us. And this image and doctrine of the Trinity resolves something of the ambiguity of the God whom we know. Our transcendent God, God who is so far removed and above everything that we know and understand and can experience. And yet the God whom we know is immanent, present with us. God is awesome. God is holy. God is far removed from my understanding. And God is seen in a man walking in Galilee. And God is felt changing lives in Cape Town. And this is something that we can really only know through experience, which is why at the beginning of the year we spend so much time on prayer, on contemplation, on silence, and being still with God, so that we can come to an understanding and experience of all of who God is. The Trinity isn't just abstract theology. At its heart, it has the practical aim of leading us deeper into knowing God. This is the invitation of the Trinity. We can come to God as Father, as Son, or as Spirit. And how we experience God may change over time, and that's okay. At times we may struggle to cope with God as Father. We may struggle with the paradox of God as man. We may be intimidated by God as Spirit. God is bigger than all of those fears. The invitation is to come. Come and see. The invitation is to come and experience the love of God. The Father says to us, "This is my creation. These are my children. You are precious to me, and so are they. If you love me, then care for all of my creation." And in Jesus, God comes to us with a commandment to live out that love in specific action, to be filled with compassion, to heal the world, to make it a better place. Go and make disciples, teach, baptize, visit the sick and the imprisoned, clothe and feed the needy. If we follow Jesus' example, we will also challenge the corrupt and abusive practices of the world. And then Jesus in the gospel prayed that we would be one. And it's not just a prayer for us to be one in the deeply spiritual way that we are as the church, as Christians, where the depth of our unity is so much bigger than the things that separate us. But it's rather a prayer that we will join with the Father and the Son in the dance of the Spirit. That we will recognize the unity of all life. We'll immerse ourselves in caring for all people in all creation. And then God comes to us in the Spirit saying, "Here I am, let me fill you with power, with my gifts. Let me enable the gifts that are within you to grow. I can help you become who you are created to be. I can help you share yourself and my love with others." And so I pray, come with open hands, come with an open heart. We are in a holy place, come with bare feet. The world we live in is holy. Allow your life to be bound up in the Father's care, the Father's provision and protection and love and goodness. Become saturated in the truth of the Son, the Son's grace and forgiveness. Be united in the Spirit's guidance, illumination and teaching. Enjoy the mystery of a God who is bigger than our minds. Enjoy the warmth and the depth of a God who is above all a loving relationship. God is inviting you to discover more about him today. The Spirit of love is saying, come and meet with a loving Father and a beloved Son. And so we ask the Trinity to draw us into a deeper understanding as we grow. Let's pray.